You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the west coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the east. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today, Tuesday, December 18th, 2018. Thanks for joining me this morning. I'm going to be taking an in-depth look, literally, at tomorrow's headlines today. I'm going to be looking at a number of different issues, but the deep state, the permanent bureaucracy, the leftists, the communists embedded in our government, what are we looking at here? We are looking, at least in my view, at the fourth quarter. I've been saying this now for a long time. If this were a football game, the fourth quarter, the deciding plays being played out before us. And among those plays, specifically, it will happen today. We saw something happen yesterday, and that was the testimony, in air quotes, of James Comey, former FBI director, and before the House Oversight Committee, talking, giving his version of events. And, of course, the guy with such a photographic and phonogenic memory, obviously in a total of 15, 16 hours of testimony, can't remember squat. That's an affront to the American people. This clearly, everything that we've seen happen in the last couple of, well, I'll just say this. Everything we've seen happen in the last 698 days, at the very least, 698, today is day 698 of the Donald Trump presidency. But if you go back to his, really, the announcement of his running for president, but really in earnest since the inauguration, and the date before that, of course, would be when he was the presumptive nominee on the GOP side. Ever since, well, during this time period, We're seeing the deep state exposing itself, the tactics of the deep state. Now, this sitting here is difficult because you've got, and thanks for inviting me into or having me into your homes, your cars, your businesses for this particular hour. I don't want to squander your time, and it's difficult for me to sit back and to assess what you know, what you don't know. What you've already heard, what you're sick of hearing, and how to kind of compile this into a compendium of information that will be useful to you, which I try to do with every broadcast. And about that, I realize that my broadcasts have been a bit sporadic lately. There's a couple of reasons for that, and I want to be very transparent, very clear, and explain to those people who are looking forward to these broadcasts. Number one, I do have, honestly, a medical issue I'm dealing with that I'm being treated for. So I've got to kind of schedule this. It's difficult in terms of scheduling. So I'll be able to take some time during the holidays and get that taken care of fully. Now, it's nothing big. Don't worry about it. It does affect certain things. But it's not life-threatening or anything like that, but it affects certain things, including the way I'm able to deliver verbally some things. But okay, so that aside, the other thing, too, is we are running an operation that's really designed, and we're putting the finer points on it, designed as our 2019 campaign notes, to infiltrate, inform, and prepare. And in so doing, we've got to make the contacts, both infiltrate the deep state as well as associate with the white hats in order to bring you the best information. That's the information side, in order that you may prepare for what's coming, because I do believe what is coming is going to be revolutionary, and that I use that word intentionally. And the other aspect is it's just the triage of news takes a lot of time. So again, not wanting to waste your time. That's why for those really three reasons, and there are more, of course, you know, fighting in the real bureaucratic sense, because we don't have a staff. I mean, our staff is our family, and our family handles things. So we don't really have a staff. We're pretty lean, and that takes time. So fighting the attacks against us, and there are many, even from within our own side, fighting those attacks and attempting to stay upright and mobile and relevant and continuing the forward movement, it does take time. Not excuses, just an explanation. So I thank you for bearing with me. And I'm going to try, and I've said this before, I'm going to try to shore up the broadcast. And hopefully between now and the end of the year, things will change and they'll get more on track. But prepare for what's coming, because what is coming is going to be, at least in terms of, well, how can I put this? Justice, we hope, is around the corner. But what must precede justice, I believe, because of the magnitude, the immense magnitude of what we're seeing with respect to the deep state, the exposure is a critical component of this. So in other words, think of it this way. The American people are pretty much inured to any discussion of the criminality of Hillary Clinton, of Barack Obama, of Brennan, of Comey. It seems like they just are brainwashed. I mean, 40%, think about this, 40% in a recent poll of the U.S. population believes that Donald J. Trump colluded, or his campaign and Donald Trump colluded with the Russians in order to throw the 2016 presidential election. So you got 40% who believe that Donald Trump is seditious, acted seditiously and even treasonous to our country. And you see that on Twitter feeds and you see that on social networking, and it's just mind bending. But that's 40%. Now the other, we'll say 50%. Now this is my statistic away from this poll. We'll say the other half believe, hopefully believe, that this is a witch hunt. This is all nonsensical. This is what it is. This is an attempt to take down a coup of our presidency. And I believe the majority of people on that 50% or 60% side believe that. And then you've got a percentage that just don't care. For whatever it's worth, I understand all sides. Okay, I don't agree with the 40% in terms of, I don't agree with the fact that there's no collusion, at least not on the Trump side, and I think that there's ample evidence. If one takes the time to look at the evidence, there's ample evidence to show that all collusion, that all conspiracy, that all dealings with the Russians, going back well over a decade, is on the Democratic side or the Democratic Socialist side. And I don't want to make too many disclaimers, but when I say Democrat and Republican, I certainly know that it's the uniparty out there. I know that there's really very few people that can be put in that box. It's all deep state versus the or globalists slash communists versus conservative slash nationalists. So, but I don't have time for all the disclaimers all the time. So if I say Democrat, understand that's synonymous, at least in the context of this episode, as well as the further episodes of Democrats, communists, same thing. Democratic socialists, at least for the most part. And when I say Republicans, and this is an important distinction, the Republicans are part of the uniparty system. So if I mention a Republican specifically, I'm referring to someone, perhaps a member of the Freedom Caucus or whatever, but the conservative element within the Republican Party that stands for truth and justice. So what we're seeing right now is the unraveling of the deep state. And at least it being exposed. And this cannot stand. This absolutely, the American public is being conditioned, I believe, by this president. And follow me on this, if you don't mind. I believe this president is conditioning the American public for revelations that will shock us to our core. Or shock, I shouldn't say shock us, you the listener, but shock the majority of Americans who really aren't paying attention or who are watching the network news programs and not listening to the new media, why do you think, for example, there is a war against the new media? It's because they've got to shut us down. They've got to take away our voice, because we are the only ones, along with a precious few, within the framework of the current government, who are speaking the truth and who are giving the information out there. So, of course, we expect the blowback, and of course, the war is on, and it has been on. Remember, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I was talking about things like the Obama cyber warriors. Remember when I wrote about that? And people, oh, that's just unfounded. It's a bunch of BS, but it's come out where, yeah, there are people getting paid, who have been paid, and they were working for free to advance the Obama agenda when he was in the Oval Office. And of course, to peddle the deep state narrative and to counteract things like the issues of the Obama birth certificate, the validity of that document. And Dr. Jerome Corsi wrote a book about the birth certificate itself, the long-form birth certificate. And now, the average person, not you, the listener, but the average person will say, well, that's been debunked, and look, there's a piece of paper at the White House, and Jerome Corsi's a discredited, debunked conspiracy theorist or activist or whatever pejorative that they want to put before his name, for example. The reason I brought that up is all of these events going back a decade, at least a couple of years, maybe a year before Obama assumed the position in the Oval Office, the war began heating up back then. So we are seeing now the moves and counter moves between the deep state and the white hats. We are seeing, of course, a whole host of political payback and personal payback by the members of the deep state against people like Dr. Jerome Corsi and against all of the conservatives who are speaking out against the deep state and against us and against me. So we expect this because this is a war. But the important thing, if you take nothing more away from this broadcast, is to understand, number one, you cannot look at today's events, yesterday's, today's, the past week or the past month or even the past 698 days, you cannot look at them as individual events or something that just suddenly happened. This has been gearing up for a number of years. And now we are seeing, through the hubris, and thankfully, through the hubris of James Comey, for example, in one case, we are seeing now the tactics, the plans, the lies of the deep state, they're being exposed. How James Comey, after a hearing yesterday, could come out, give an roughly eight-minute press conference, impromptu press conference, where he blames Fox News and Donald Trump and everyone else for discrediting the FBI. Well, you can tell that he is doubling down, and he is just attempting to do whatever he can to mitigate the damage against the FBI. Now, I want to say one thing about this. Many people, I'm sure you remember the communist goals back in 1958, as written in The Naked Communist. W. Cleon Skousen wrote that book. The communist planks and goals were read into the Congressional Record back in 1963. By Representative Herlong of Florida. You can find them in the Congressional Record, of course. And I think goal number 35, I don't have this in front of me, but I think goal number 35 was to discredit and ultimately abolish the FBI. Well, what better way to do it than from within? So that is a communist goal, to take over the country. And at this point, communism and globalism, they can be synonymous here. But did you know that? I mean, 1963, I'm sure you knew that the communist goals were read into the Congressional Record. And one of the communist goals was to thoroughly discredit the FBI. Now we see that we see that the preeminent law enforcement agency of the United States, once preeminent, has been thoroughly discredited at the hands of two individuals, that those being Mueller during his tenure as director and Comey. And Comey now is in a state of self-destruction, of self-immolation. But yet he maintains his hubris, his absolute sickening, holier-than-thou persona. I'm going to play a clip. This audio segment, I referred to it yesterday in the flagship show. This was from December 9th at the 92nd Street Y. And this is specifically about what happened to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. And I realized yesterday I asked for and received, hey, you know, should I write a report, kind of a timeline, not an abbreviated timeline, but a good timeline about General Flynn and contextualize it into the war against Donald Trump and the war against you and I. And overwhelmingly, the response I got was absolutely do that. Because I don't know if there is one out there specifically related to that. I don't know if there's any open source. I do know from the books I read, from The Russian Hoax by Greg Jarrett to, name the book, Spygate. My goodness, there's a lot of information contained in these books. And actually, I found some contradictory information among the texts, which I thought was rather interesting. But all of that said, we are in the process of disclosure right now. This is what's taking place. Disclosure is taking place. But back to Comey in the 92nd Street Y, where he sat down and gave some remarks, 42-second audio snippet here. Listen to this audio segment, audio snippet, 42 seconds in length, by James Comey, explaining how the Flynn interview came about. And pay particular attention to the hubris of two things, the hubris of Comey, but also listen to the reaction of the crowd. And I want to know how many people are focusing on the reaction part of this. To me, this is telling, because as we ramp up, and I think we're in this position of ramping up into a civil war within our country, and by that, or a hybrid of a civil war and a revolution, these are the people, in my view, who will advance this to violence. And yeah, it's that serious. But go ahead and play clip, I think it's clip 1, 42 seconds. Here's James Comey.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the same room. How did that happen?
I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. In both of those administrations, there was process. And so if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
Okay, that was James Comey. And what he's saying, what he's admitting to, is he was taking advantage of the chaotic atmosphere as one transitions from one administration to another. The fact that it was early enough, hey, things, and Donald Trump is a political outsider, he may not be familiar with the ins and outs of the process. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to subvert the Donald Trump administration, because, well, he wasn't supposed to win. Hillary is my, you know, was our deep state person. So we are going to go after the Trump presidency by first going after Flynn. Remember the statement. We are going to F, and of course that word is, you know, we're going to F Flynn and then F Trump. Now I'm paraphrasing. So he is remarking about a January 24th, 2017 interview with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. And just to be clear, as everyone hopefully knows, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn is a registered Democrat. That's right. He served in the under Obama. He served in the military for 33 years, 5 years in combat. He headed the DIA. He knows. I mean, the guy is a smart guy, and he was really the target of the deep state from day one because they knew. They didn't expect, obviously, Donald Trump to win, so they had to go after President Trump through the people around him. So I just wanted to toss that out there because that's important. Even if you have heard that before, now combine that with a clip I'm not going to play, and you can find this online, various places, of the remarks by James Comey yesterday, the 8-minute news conference, including a question asked by Catherine Herridge that Comey refused to answer, which was really striking at the heart of the issue. But having said all of that, you can see now the deep state, the desperation of the deep state, of which James Comey is the poster boy in this case. You can see as the agenda of the deep state is just devolving, and it's being put down at every turn, or at least in their mind, it's not advancing fast enough. In fact, Donald Trump is a roadblock. The American people, especially you, me, the new media, we're the roadblocks to the implementation of this globalist collective. So you can see the frustration developing and building, and these people now, I believe, are absolutely dangerous. So that way, I wanted people to hear, I wanted listeners to hear that. Even if you heard it before, it's good to hear it again. The absolute lack of integrity. Yeah, I took advantage of the situation. Ha ha. Yeah, I'm not a patriot, basically. I wanted to make things rough for Donald Trump. I want to go after Flynn in order to get to Trump. That's really the short answer to a very long question. Or at least the exposing of a tactic here. So it's extremely important, I believe, for people to understand what is going on. Absolutely important. So yesterday we saw Comey before, or at least we saw his presence, but we have no indication of what he said. We know from the previous interview earlier this month, or the previous meeting before, appearance before the House Congressional Subcommittee, the fact that he couldn't remember anything. I have no reason to suspect that changed yesterday. And he comes out then, and yesterday, of course, he throws Fox News, he names Fox News, and to a lesser extent, his inferences, or inferring that the new media and the people who are asking questions are really not being honest, when in fact he's not being honest. His weaponized FBI was really the FBI under which that was weaponized by Comey and by Mueller. You know, they are on the right side of history, when in fact they're not. But anyway, I want to get back to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, because today, in just a couple of hours here, there's going to be a sentencing hearing, long delayed, for Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. Well, what's this all about? Because isn't it a settled matter that Lieutenant General Michael Flynn said he pleaded to lying under Section 1001 to investigators or to FBI agents? He pleaded to lying. So why did he do that? Why would somebody plead to an offense that they did not commit? Well, I can answer that question, and so can you, and so can every thinking American out there who has any experience with law enforcement, or the FBI, or prosecutors, because in the real world, here's what happens. You are the target, or made the target, of an entity, the government in this case, with infinite resources. And it doesn't matter if you are innocent or guilty. It doesn't matter if you did what they said you did or not. They can absolutely go after you. And the mental, emotional, physical, financial burden that it places upon that person. There comes a point in time when you say, how can I get out of this? You know, I can't fight anymore. I'm out of money. This is ruining my family. My family life is in tatters. I have to sell my house just to pay my legal fees. Every time I turn around, I'm getting hammered by investigators and lawyers. And there comes a point in time when, and my family's being threatened. My son is being threatened with potential jail time. They're going to ruin him. There comes a point in time, and I can speak from experience. Look, I'm going through this right now. And this is not about me. And mine is so minuscule compared to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. And Alex Jones, too. Look at what he's going through. But see, what happens when you are the defendant, whether it's a criminal case, FBI and the government in the situation of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, or in my case, Alex Jones's case, when you've got, and I have to be careful what I say here, when you've got civil actions against you, designed, the ultimate objective is to bankrupt you and to just wreak havoc with your personal life and your business life. And let me tell you, it does. It absolutely does. And there are days when you say, is it even worth fighting? At what point do I just say, enough, I'm tired. I've diverted enough resources. I've taken out enough mortgages. I've seen my wife in tears. I've seen my staff upset. At what point do you say, how can I just get rid of this albatross? I didn't do anything wrong, but so that's the mentality. And I don't know if I had to explain that, but maybe I did. Maybe I did. Because that's how and why Lieutenant General Michael Flynn pled to a charge with that, in my view, and I think the majority who know what this is all about, it explains why he did what he did. And even maybe even the more ominous aspect of this, and this has been my warning since day one, they are coming after all of us. Please understand that, because this is not about just about Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. And in the civil sense, this is not just about InfoWars and Alex Jones or me or whoever else is in the mix of, you know, fighting the fight, the legal fights. It's not, I don't have to say word one about us. It's about all of us together, all of you, because they are coming after us individually and collectively. When I say us, I'm talking about the people who really want to advance the truth and to inform and educate the American public and prepare the American public. And if you're not American in the West, because what applies here in America also is applicable in Europe, even more so, in Canada, even more so. This is about a fight to the bitter end. But specifically about Lieutenant General Michael Flynn now. Now let's move to specifics about what's taking place, because this gives us an open window to so many areas. It gives us a window to the tactics. If you look at this, the who, the what, the when, the where, the how, and the why, we've got pretty much, we've got those pretty much answered. So this, the case of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, is an exhibit of the deep state, their tactics, and all of the elements, the W's and the H, all of those elements. And by understanding what happened here and what is happening here, you will understand, or at least have greater insight into what's coming down the road. I hope you understand this. Now, where it stands today, Judge Emmett Sullivan. It is before the case, his sentencing is scheduled for today, December 18th, 2018, at 11 o'clock this morning Eastern Time. And his sentencing is scheduled before Judge Emmett Sullivan. And if you understand what happened, or Judge Emmett Sullivan, Judge Emmett Sullivan does not play, does not suffer fools. Judge Emmett Sullivan was behind exposing the prosecutorial misfeasance, malfeasance, and misconduct in the case of Ted Stevens, the Alaskan Senator Ted Stevens, back in 2012, related to the Enron Arthur Anderson investigation by the same players or some of the same players that we see today. The Mueller FBI at that time, Weissman, some of the same people who were or are on the Mueller team. Judge Emmett Sullivan had excoriated the prosecutors, as eloquently described by Sidney Powell, former federal prosecutor, in her book License to Lie. But it was too late for Senator Stevens, who was convicted, in air quotes, because of prosecutorial misconduct and the hiding of exculpatory evidence, and meaning the prosecution did not reveal evidence that would have exonerated Senator Ted Stevens. And I'm not going to get into the case. You can look it up online. But Judge Emmett Sullivan was the guy that exposed the misdeeds, malfeasance, and criminal conduct of the prosecutors, including, again, some of the same people involved today. And that's who is going to be handling the sentencing of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. Now, Emmett Sullivan, as judge, has got a couple of choices. And I have got no clue. I'm not going to predict. I predicted yesterday, but I'm not even going to reference that. I've got no clue how this is going to play out before Judge Emmett Sullivan. I could tell you, and I will tell you, the lead up to what happened today or what's going to happen today. But I don't know how to interpret things because I, frankly, it's a fool's errand in an attempt to, at least in my view, an attempt to predict what's going to happen. But one thing is sure. Judge Emmett Sullivan, in leading up to today, with respect to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn's sentencing, had requested information from the FBI and subsequently received, as of yesterday, although late, information from the FBI. And that information, redacted to the public but open to Sullivan, contains, I believe, exculpatory evidence for Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. So he's got a couple of options. Number one, and this would be very interesting if he did this, and perhaps the way to go, Judge Emmett Sullivan could look at this case and say, due to prosecutorial misconduct, violations of the Woods procedures and Brady rules. Brady, of course, Brady v. Maryland is the case. Brady, the Brady rules, meaning that you've got to turn over information that's favorable to the defendant. Because of that, he could vacate the verdict and allow Lieutenant General Michael Flynn to proceed as a free man, as if this didn't happen. And then, of course, excoriate the prosecutors as well. That's option one. Option two is he could sentence Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, maybe give him no jail time and say, you know what, here, you got probation, but then take to task the prosecutors. Or he could somehow, and I don't see this happening, somehow just say, well, you know what, it is what it is. He pled, so we're going to sentence him to whatever the minimum might be. He could handle this as if this was just any normal case. But given his actions running up to today, I think it's going to be either option one or option two. And there's arguably good reasons in both cases, options one and two. Now, if you are I'm trying to think if I should work backwards from here, from what we learned yesterday, or if I should just give a brief overview. Maybe I'll do this. I'll give you a synopsis, really, of how we got here today, and then address where we're at with respect to the information. All right, so I'll just briefly set the stage to give the context of what's happening here today and what the consequences could be following today. You got to understand, of course, Donald Trump being elected to the presidency, one of the most remarkable, if not most improbable, occurrences in American political history. However, the American people were ready for someone outside of that deep state swamp, not a politician, but anything, the antithesis of a politician. And not really since the founding of our nation has someone with no previous experience in elected public office, the military, government, has been elevated to that the office of the presidency. So assembling a White House staff, including cabinet members, and leadership for the vast, extensive executive branch, I think there's like 4,200 positions or 4,100 and some odd positions, it's a challenge for even a seasoned politician. So Donald Trump was at a disadvantage, and he was not getting any help or support by the GOP, by the Republicans, basically, and certainly not by the outgoing Obama regime. And that's what Comey was referencing. He took advantage of that, and he's proud of it. And he said that on December 9th. You heard that audio segment, and people laughed and applauded because they hate Donald Trump more than they hate the United States of America, their own country. But again, so you've got this enormous task before. He had this enormous task before him. And this is why we have brought on people like Corey Lewandowski or David Bossie, who appeared with us, and Anthony Scaramucci, who were in during the campaign, as well as depending on who it is, into the transition to explain what was going on. But so Donald Trump had to surround himself or select people who he could depend on, you know, loyalty. He relied on many people who joined his campaign and helped him get where he was at. That's for sure. Now, he expected and required loyalty, of course. But some of the people he brought in were people that he knew and he trusted. Now, he made some choices that maybe in hindsight were not the best. But nonetheless, let's talk about General Michael Flynn. He served, or he was appointed to serve as National Security Advisor. All right. Of course, as I mentioned, Michael Flynn, 33 years in the military, 5 years in combat of the 33, and of course, head of the DIA. But what happened was on, and you have to take this in the context of what took place. You had Obama telling the American public, as well as Clinton, telling the American public that the reason for Hillary Clinton's loss, in the media, by the way, the fifth column in America, the reason for Hillary Clinton's loss was because of Russian interference in the 2016 elections. I know you're tired of hearing it. I'm tired of saying it. But that's the context. That's the backdrop. The Russians interfered. Now, normally you've got cooperation between the outgoing administration and incoming administration. There was none. In fact, it was the opposite of that. It was attempting to subvert Donald Trump because they did not want a non-initiated member to serve as the most powerful person in America, the chief executive, as president. So here's what happened. Because of the loss of Hillary Clinton and the blame that was cast upon the Russian interference, when you look at it, by the way, it doesn't hold up under the scrutiny of when you look at the evidence, it's very fragile. So Obama, in his last weeks in the Oval Office, decides to take punitive action against Russia. Remember, it was in December. that he expelled, 35 Russian diplomats from the United States because of the ostensible collusion or the influencing of the 2016 presidential election. And he did not consult, by the way, Donald Trump when he did this. That's important to understand. He did this unilaterally without consulting President Trump and tossing out 35 Russian diplomats. That's a big deal. Now, at the same time, or maybe just before that, Flynn was, you go back to early in 2016, Michael Flynn signed on as foreign policy advisor, national security advisor to the Donald Trump campaign. And this despite him being a Democrat, but nonetheless. And remember, at the Republican convention, he delivered this impassioned speech criticizing what he described as Obama's misguided approach to international threats. He was against the Iran deal. He attacked Hillary Clinton for violating the law in mishandling classified documents. Well, that was Michael Flynn. And he was okay with Obama. He served under Obama until he began becoming an outspoken antagonist to things like the Iran deal and Hillary Clinton's mishandling of classified information. Then he became persona non grata to Obama and all of the deep state people, including Brennan and Comey and others. So it was after Donald Trump's election victory, Obama would, instead of helping the Trump administration, what he did is he picked up the phone and he said, "Hey, Don, Mr. Trump, look, don't appoint Flynn to any national security position." Donald Trump, being Donald Trump, did not listen to him. He selected Flynn to be his national security advisor. And by the way, if Obama did have any issues with Flynn, whether it be real or imagined, regardless, they certainly did not warrant any action because Lieutenant General Michael Flynn's security clearance was renewed in April of 2016. So it was just a matter of political disagreement by Obama. And the warning about Flynn to Trump, that was just political malice. It was not any reference to competence. So, again, during the transition, with only 3 weeks left before the inauguration, Obama unilaterally decided and announced sanctions against Russia in retaliation for Moscow's interference in the 2016 election. Remember, that was the meme back then. 35 Russians out the door. December 28th, 2016, Obama signed the order, and it was made public within 24 hours. And instead of consulting with the incoming president, as other outgoing presidents have done, Obama acted unilaterally. It was a deliberate attempt to sabotage the incoming Donald Trump administration. And fully on board, that's why I played that December 9th clip. Comey, relishing in the fact, hey, I just sent him in because, you know what? It was a disarray. Donald Trump's administration, disarray incoming. So let's screw the guy. There is your Cardinal Comey. There is your man with all of the... There's your guy, leftist. And Twitter, you know, the Twitter kings and queens who are backing Comey. There's your guy. There's insight into his psyche. But I digress. So Obama was doing whatever he could to make it difficult for President Trump to succeed. And what he did by this Russian situation was an attempt to provoke a reaction from the Trump team, and this as well as a reaction from Russia. All right, so you've got that going on. Michael Flynn was in the Dominican Republic this after the vacationing, all right, after this all happened. And Flynn was directed to ask Moscow not to escalate the situation and only respond in a reciprocal manner. In other words, hey, if you talk to Sergei Kislyak, the U.S. ambassador, the Russian ambassador, I'm sorry, the Russian ambassador to the United States, just mentioned, look, we're coming in and we're going to change things, and please don't, you know, understand this for what it is. It's all politics. It's American politics. We'll handle it when we get in the door. Essentially, that's, I'm kind of encapsulating what the conversation would have been like. Well, whatever happened during that conversation apparently worked, because it was a couple of days later, on December 30th, 2016, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced his country would not retaliate. So clearly, Flynn and President-elect Donald Trump had managed to defuse what could have evolved into a really a more volatile situation. Now, American intelligence at that time, still under the direction of the Obama regime, were listening in on his conversations. They had surveillance, and of course the weaponized surveillance of the CIA and the FBI. They are, and Flynn had to know this, that they were, if not at that time, shortly thereafter, that the FBI was listening, the CIA was listening. I mean, you talk to a Russian ambassador, you got to know your calls are being monitored. So somebody with his credentials would know his calls are being monitored and transcribed. So it was on January 24th, just 4 days into the President Trump administration. Think back, Comey. Oh, yeah. Sent him in. Sent agents Peter Strzok and Joseph Pientka to interview Lieutenant General Michael Flynn at the White House. Transcript basically in hand. They already knew what Lieutenant General Michael Flynn talked about with Kislyak. They already knew. So I'm going to point something out here. When that happens, when you have a law enforcement agency, law enforcement officers, including but not limited to the FBI, asking you for an interview, cordial, under the pretext of it being cordial, and they're asking you questions that you already, that they already know the answers to, there's only one reason for that, and that is to catch you in a lie. So they set out not to do well. Their whole objective was to catch Lieutenant General Michael Flynn in a perjury trap, because they had the transcripts. They knew exactly what Flynn said to Kislyak and vice versa. So they already knew the answers to the questions that they were going to ask. So they interviewed Michael Flynn on January 24th of 2017. And I should say this. This was not a custodial interrogation. In other words, this was not, look, we're coming to interview you, there's a problem here, and you might want to have a lawyer. Because had they said that, of course, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn could have and should have lawyered up, but did not. So this was not a custodial investigation or interrogation. This was just it was couched as an interview, a friendly, hey, you know, what's going on? And so anyway, Strzok and Pientka conducted the interview on January 24th, 2018. And I should note this. We hear about the 302s, forms 302. An FD 302 is a form used by the FBI to summarize the interview or the contact with witnesses or subjects or persons, whatever you want to call, whoever you're interviewing. It's a summary of what happened. And the Forms 302 must be, according to FBI policy, completed within 5 days of the interview. So the agents Strzok of Lisa Page, Peter Strzok lover fame and anti-Trump fame and pro-Hillary fame, Strzok and Pientka conducted the interview. And in the initial, information that we got, and as admitted by Comey, there was no indication that Lieutenant General Michael Flynn was lying, and really there was no reason for him to lie, especially if Michael Flynn knew that they already had the transcripts. And if it were me, I would just say, hey, look at what you got there, and you know, that's what I said. What I said is what I said, so there you have it. But at any rate, the push to or the attempt to go after President Trump was greater. the attempt, then they knew that they could do it through Michael Flynn. So they because of some inconsistencies, alleged inconsistencies between what was contained in the 302s, plural, and the transcripts reported, seeing this, Michael Flynn pleaded to violations of 18 U.S.C. section 1001. And that was only after being subjected to intense, and I mean intense, coercion, harassment, going after him to the point of bankruptcy. Whatever was done was innocuous from the Flynn perspective, but from the FBI perspective, this was a means to an end. The end, of course, was Donald Trump. The means was silencing Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. Interestingly, from the January 24th, 2017 interview, we saw 302s that were dated 7 months later, almost to the day, instead of 5 days. And we saw information come out that was essentially withheld by the Mueller investigative team. Now, after pleading to violating Section 1001, again, you have to understand, people plead for different reasons, even if they're in the right. I know this personally. I mean, I and you know this. Sometimes it's just to stop the pain, stop the hemorrhaging, stop the bleeding. Okay, I'll do this. Just leave me alone. And shame on the banana republic that the FBI has, under Comey, has taken us. I mean, this is pure police state tactics. But now here's where we're at. And I'm shuffling papers. I apologize if you hear that. Here's where we're at. Today is the sentencing hearing. The Judge Emmett Sullivan asked for the 302s and all information associated with the contact with Flynn. Received initially, well, by the way, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn pled guilty December 1st of 2017, this being 2018, so it's over a year. The sentencing was delayed ostensibly because of Lieutenant General Flynn's cooperation with Mueller. Well, what was that cooperation about? It could have been one of a couple of things. It could have been about his Lieutenant General Flynn's association with a lobbying group and his involvement in a lobbying group with Turkey, or it could have been a kicking the can down the road. Let's get it downfield as let's run the clock out as best we can, because people have a tendency to forget. I think it's a combination of the two, but nonetheless, here we are today, finally, over a year after the pleading, which is. This does not normally happen. In other words, once a plea is made, if you plead guilty, you're sentenced pretty quickly. Look at Manafort. Look at the others. So many others. So many examples. So this is out of the ordinary. So now the case goes before Judge Emmett Sullivan. And the reasons it's before Judge Emmett Sullivan, well, it doesn't matter. It's before Emmett Sullivan. And, of course, we know that Sullivan has got a great track record to expose the violations of Brady rules and the exculpatory evidence, the overzealous and malicious prosecutors. So Sullivan asked for a lot of information from the Mueller team. Ultimately, he received it. Some, over the last 24 hours, has been made public with redactions. And yesterday, again, so I'm referring to Judge Emmett Sullivan ordered Robert Mueller's office to publicly file a redacted version of the original 302. That is to say, the interview notes that FBI agent Joe Pientka prepared after Flynn's January 24th, 2017 interview. If you look at what was released, and I don't have time to get into all of this, but if you look at what was released, the totality of the information released, you're going to notice some inconsistencies. Inconsistencies in typeface, inconsistencies in, it just seems like it's a the information has been coddled. It's been cobbled together. And it's been changed, I believe. Now, I don't believe, like others, I don't believe that the recent filings are going to impact the decision of Judge Sullivan. But what Judge Sullivan appears to be doing is to bring as much public attention to what's going on before his ruling. Now, there's another issue here as well, Judge Rudy Contreras, which was a friend of Peter Strzok. Remember that? He was recused from the case right after General Flynn pled guilty, or right after the acceptance of Flynn's guilty plea. That was back in December 1st, 2017. And there's been no response to that. But anyway, over the last couple of days and couple of days, I'll just leave it at that, there are two new orders from Judge Emmett Sullivan in the Flynn case. Sullivan granted Flynn's motion to file documents under seal and ordered the government to immediately file a publicly redacted version of the unreleased January 24th, 2017 FD-302 of Flynn's FBI interview, which is interesting. And some of this information, and I went over this yesterday in yesterday's program, yesterday's flagship show, about the sealed documents, not sealed indictments, but the sealed documents with respect to this case. When you look at the docket for General Flynn, PACER is the origin, the missing docket numbers of 51 through 55, which should tell everyone who are expecting, hey, sealed indictments. Well, not every sealed entry is an indictment, but just saying. It looks like Mueller's office did respond to Judge Emmett Sullivan's previous order to produce all relevant 302s and did so under seal, just saying. But what we're looking at here is a whole dish of political payback now before Judge Emmett Sullivan. The question is, what is Judge Emmett Sullivan going to do? And what are we, or what is going to be the result, what's going to be the consequence of Sullivan's ruling today, in just a few hours from now? This is historic to watch, important to understand, and even more important to act upon, I believe, because we are witnessing the actions of a police state headed or weaponized by Obama and the globalists surrounding Obama, weaponized by Mueller and Comey, despite the allegations or the assertions to the contrary. They are the ones that have politicized the intelligence community, and Brennan's at the top of this list as well, to serve dish of political payback against the enemies of the deep state. This is what we're seeing in a nutshell. If people can't understand this, man, I don't know what to say. But it's important to really understand. Michael Flynn, I'll throw this out there too. Michael Flynn and Andy McCabe. McCabe was the deputy director of the FBI as well, that had a hand in the setting up the interview with Michael Flynn. They've got a past that predates, obviously, the President Trump presidency, and a past that provides ample motivation for the perjury trap that McCabe and Comey set up after Flynn's illegal masking. And by the way, the illegal masking in this is critical to understand. This is where others from the Obama regime come into play. But McCabe had a personal grudge against Flynn, and others, as well as myself, suspect I'm not sure who wrote this on American Thinker, but this could very well be the revenge. It would explain why McCabe would entrap Flynn in this interview. And I would urge everyone to look at I'm grabbing here at the last moment. Daniel John Sobieski wrote this article and explains the political retaliation. I don't have time to get into it. Obviously, it's the end of the program, but it's at American Thinker. It's dated December 15th, 2018 by Daniel John Sobieski. The Flynn investigation, McCabe's personal retaliation. You can see what's going on here. This is all political. This is all deep state swamp stuff versus us, and we are in the crosshairs. Folks, thank you so much for bearing with me on everything, on the erraticness nature of the program. And hey, God bless.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to The Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.